Officials with the Washoe County School District say they're anticipating a deficit somewhere between $22 and $28 million for the current 2017-2018 school year. This will make it the 10th year in a row the district's expenses outpace revenue. I sat down with our education reporter, Paul Boger, to get the latest. Paul, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So school officials in Washoe are looking at yet another year with large funding deficits. Can you tell us what's going on?
I will try. So this year, district officials are looking at their 10th straight year with a deficit. And the reason for that is because Washoe schools have what is known as a structural deficit. That simply means expenditures consistently outpace the revenue. And this year, it looks like that hole may reach about $25 million, give or take a few million. Now, the reason for that structural deficit is really anyone's guess at this point, but there seems to be some theories. Critics argue the district is wasteful and top-heavy, meaning that the amount of money spent on administration outpaces classroom spending. However, officials say revenues are lacking, that the state has the lowest per-pupil funding in the country, and that property taxes have not kept up with increasing costs. In my estimation, it's probably a little column A and a little column B. But, you know, I spoke with Board of Trustees President Angie Taylor over the weekend at a district workshop where they looked at the potential deficit.
I think any kind of governmental agency always has that perception that they're top heavy. And what I tell people is take a look at the data. The data really shows that as a state of Nevada, we're pretty low as it comes down to our ratio, administrators versus those that actually teach in the schools. And then from Washoe, we're even lower than the state of Nevada. We're well below the national average. So that's a perception that I think it's always there, but it's inaccurate.
Now, according to my research, that's not necessarily accurate. But to be fair, the district's administrative costs are very much in line with the other 13 districts in the state.
And Paul, what happened to last year's deficit, that $40 million?
Well, it's hard to say. School finance officers have not officially closed out the 2017 budget yet. That takes time, and we'll probably see those numbers in the near-ish future. However, speaking to officials, the district solved last year's deficit in the same way they always have, with Band-Aids, essentially. Over the last decade, the district has relied on things like filling funding gaps with savings or increasing class sizes. Last year, the school district effectively cut jobs by not refilling vacant positions.
So what's the fix here? How is the district planning to shore up its finances?
Well, that's the problem. Over the past decade, the district and trustees, for that matter, seem to have not taken the steps to really sit down to A, look at how the structural deficit came to be, or B, to make the really hard decisions required to bring the district's spending more in line with actual revenues. That being said, it seems like school officials are more serious this time and are putting an end to that problem. First, they're actually looking at the deficit at the beginning of the school year. In the past, and as recently as last school year, we would go nearly the entire year, and then school officials would announce that there was a deficit. This year, to the district's credit, they're actually getting ahead of the problem by looking at it at the beginning of the school year, because they know the deficit's going to be there. Second, school finance officers are looking into a new budgeting system developed specifically for school districts by a national public finance organization called Government Finance Officers Association. It's my understanding that the plan requires the district to look at individual programs offered at the schools to see if they're getting a decent ROI, that's a return on investment. And in other words, if a particular program isn't getting results, even if it promises, you know, increased opportunities for students, then it could be cut. Speaking to district CFO Tom Szczynski, the move may help clear some dead weight out of the district.
We've got to take a look at each and every one of those programs and see which one is giving us the best bang for our buck. So following the guidelines of this new budgetary practice, we'll start to, you know, take a deeper dive, look at student achievement, which ones are giving us the best results. If we've got a program that's not producing great results, then maybe we say we got to let that one go, even though it may still be a good program for some, but we've got a program over here that's doing a much better job for many more.
So, Paul, you've been covering education for a while, not just here, but in other states also. In your opinion, where could these cuts come from?
Well, this is different than a one-time deficit where a storm blows off a roof or a flooding happens due to pipes bursting. This is systemic and structural. And school trustees and administrators are really going to have to make some tough decisions and potentially unpopular decisions. In my experience, those cuts come from in the form of canceling arts classes and extracurriculars, including sports. But that may not be enough before this is all said and done, and the district may have to seriously consider layoffs. And that's a move no one wants to make.
Paul Boger, thank you.
Thank you.
For Reno Public Radio News, I'm Michelle Billman.